thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my esteemed colleague, my partner in crime. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything. It's at Eric Delisle.
Phil, great to be with you on this fine day.
We've entered into off-season mode, Eric.
Yeah, we have. It's casual.
It's a nice transition.
Chill.
Yeah.
Laid back.
If you're watching on the YouTube channel, Eric is in a very nice quarter zip as usual. I have attempted to do like a little scruff.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's working. I don't know if it's working, but
that's something that happened.
A one week trial.
Yeah.
That's what I sort of.
It's like you've been going through something.
This is what happens. Like if I don't shave for like 2 hours.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I'm just. Trying it out. You know, it looks good on some people, but yeah. I don't know if it's for me.
I think it looks nice.
I don't know if it's for me. But anyway, we are in off-season mode, which means that the show now goes to just once a week.
Oh,
which
sad.
Is very sad.
How do people even get through their weeks now?
I don't know. Mondays are way different now.
Empty. There's nothing to live for.
Like just driving in your car, silence. No.
Yeah, that's true. Just honking.
And a lot of honking.
A lot of honking. Rage.
Yeah.
From the traffic.
That's true. We used to help society.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
Road rage goes way up in Denver from January to August.
Yeah. But end of the week, very smooth.
Very good.
I don't know. It's just the data. There's some data points there. So with this, though, comes a lot of... anticipation, a lot of speculation, Eric, a lot of chance to dive into areas the Broncos could focus on this offseason. And, that is also kind of fun, though. You know, like, the Pro Bowl, Super Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks. But then after that, you sort of turn your attention to the combine, start getting ready for free agency, the draft. So there's still, I guess there's a schedule, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like a lot of stuff in the offseason.
They do a nice job
to be able to talk about. So not all is lost.
Not all is lost, Phil. But I think there's plenty of time, is what you're saying, in some ways, for us to get into specifics of which free agents should the Broncos target or
nitty gritty.
Yeah, exactly. You know, who should the Broncos take with the 12th pick? You know, which free agents are back? Which free agents are moving on? All those sorts of things. But
Phil, that's not what today is about.
No, as you enter the offseason, I think it's a big picture question.
Yes.
How does this team get better?
How does
this team improve? And that's what we're going to look at.
And, you know, I think the tone was set last week during the end of season press conferences. That was last week.
Seems like months ago.
I know, seems like a long time ago. But I think that the tone was, we fell short of our goals. I was clean shaven then.
Like a baby's.
She's right before the podcast that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, just right outside the studio door here is where I usually.
A straight edge razor.
And by the end of the show.
There's a little barber pole out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The candy cane type of.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the tone was set, Eric, that it was like, hey, we fell short of our goals. There's a lot of work to be done. This is going to be a busy offseason for the Broncos. And I think when you take a look at the team overall, Eric, there's a lot of uncertainty all across the board. And so you could really, it's like a nice ball of clay.
Mm.
And you could really mold it into what you want. And, I think that can be a little bit nerve-wracking. But at the same time, there's also an opportunity there to improve. And so that can be exciting.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways this team can go this offseason. Obviously, some big choices ahead, Phil. And I think just the way the tone was set in terms of the Broncos are not going to be big spenders in free agency this year, something you're able to do every year. I think naturally you look to the draft, and because the Broncos don't have a second-round pick currently, you really look at that first-round pick and you say, man, this is our chance. This is our
guy. He's got to contribute.
Opportunity to get an impact player.
A dude. Bro.
That's true. A brah.
Bruh.
And, I think there's a lot of discourse right now, Phil. about where the Broncos should take a guy. And, you know, again, this big picture, we're not going to talk about specific names or specific players, but just which position
should
the Broncos target there? Because, Phil, I think you could look at this roster and, you know, on the way over to the podcast studio, it's a short walk, obviously.
Of course.
There's five.
Kind of live here.
Right. You just kind of right outside the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Past the shaving area.
Yeah.
There's five or six positions, Phil, that I think you could look at and realistically say Broncos need to take a guy at this position.
Yeah, like you would be like, that makes sense.
And so I think it's worth just kind of talking through the pros and cons to those different spots.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what we'll sort of get into on this episode. Before we dive into that, though, Eric, this is sort of an interactive type of thing.
Oh.
You know, we're men of the people.
There you go.
And a show for the people.
For the people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Phil, you can get in touch with us in many ways. You can leave an email at neutralzoneshow@gmail.com. You can leave a voicemail at 707-NEUTRAL.
707-NEUTRAL.
That's the one. You can tweet at us directly on X, at Phil Milani with a PH, at Eric DeLalla with an A. Non-traditional.
Those are non-traditional.
They are. Or, Phil, you can head on down the lane to the Broncos official YouTube page.
Yep.
Find a neutral zone. Yep, exactly. Get your walking stick out. Head on down. You swing open the saloon doors to the Broncos official YouTube page.
They kind of both, they're
here. Yeah. There's a little dust bunny that rolls by you.
Yeah. You got your spurs on.
Exactly. And you settle down at an old bar stool. You call over the old barkeep.
That's why I got this scruff here so I can light a match. Right off the side.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they'll say, what do you have? And you say, I want the neutral zone.
Oh, sorry.
With the bourbon.
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and then you hit the subscribe button. You scroll down to the comment section and you leave a comment. And we read them.
Eric, right now. Yeah, sorry, right now. Talking about improving and making changes, a lot of comments last week about changing the hosts of this show.
Oh.
I never heard a lot kind of hurt my feelings personally here. But there was a couple of nice ones that I thought maybe we could read. GGG15, another great pod, guys. Thank you very much. Dominic Cavazos. A longtime listener and commenter
of the show.
Said that his mom took him to the Thanksgiving Day game in 2005 when Ron Dayne went crazy against the Cowboys. And he said that he shares this because she recently passed away suddenly. So, I thought that was a nice comment. I wanted to shout out to Dominic there. So.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss, Dominic. That's a nice memory to have.
Yes. Yes. So a nice shout out there to Dominic. And then a lot of comments about people who don't like us.
Those are good ones.
Except J. Prez Bronk came to our defense. And
that's why he's the Prez.
Exactly, yeah. And, I think that people are just sort of anxious to see what the Broncos do this offseason.
So. As are we, Phil.
So
as
are those we. Are our comments.
Those are nice.
Maybe some nice ones next week.
Maybe. We'll see.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, Eric, let's get into our topic of conversation here. And that's where the Broncos will go in the draft. You know, a lot of uncertainty surrounding this team right now. You know, just thinking about, okay, what can they do? What kind of moves can they be made? There's a lot of different options that are on the table. But currently, the Broncos sit at number 12 in the first round. It's the first time they're picking in the first round in quite some time. And so, I think that there's a great deal of anticipation here on what direction the Broncos will go in. And like we mentioned in the intro, there's really, when you look at this Broncos team, there's a lot of different directions, Eric, that this team can go in, but maybe we can go through a few positions and say, okay, would this make sense or yes or no? And I guess the big one to talk about is quarterback.
Yeah, I think obviously every conversation about the Broncos this offseason will begin and end with the quarterback position. We'll have to see kind of what happens with Russell Wilson moving forward. George Payton, Sean Payton both said that, still open to him returning. Greg Penner said anything that happens is going to be a football decision, not a financial-based decision. If the Broncos do move on, you've got to consider, I would think, a quarterback with that top pick. So the last time the Broncos selected a quarterback in the first round, obviously, was Paxton Lynch.
Yeah.
Selected Drew Lock, who I think was considered a kind of a first-round talent early in the second round in 2019. Have tried a lot of different options from trading for quarterbacks, signing free agents. Obviously, Broncos have not found that guy since Peyton Manning retired, but that doesn't mean you can stop swinging.
No, and you got to keep trying it.
And I think a guy like C.J. Stroud, there's numerous examples, but he's the most recent, is that if you hit on that guy, your fortune can change really quickly.
Instantly.
And, you might not do what C.J. Stroud did, which is take your team to the playoffs in the first year, but you can quickly see how when you find that guy, it changes everything. And that's why I think of all the positions, it's the most alluring in that, hey, if the Broncos can hit on that guy, that's that's the number one issue or whatever you want to call it, figured out, and then you don't have to worry about that.
I think that there's nothing more exciting as a fan than having a young quarterback on your team that's really, really good. That it just opens up so many different possibilities for you, and especially if they're on that rookie contract, you just have a instant window there where you're like, we can really win this thing if we put all the right pieces together here. So nothing is more exciting. I think that when you talk about C.J. Stroud, like he was the number two overall pick last year. So, sitting at 12, you're like, okay, well, what type of a quarterback could be available there? The good news for the Broncos, if that's the direction that they want to go in, is that there seems to be like five quarterbacks or so that might be, taken really early in this draft. So it's possible that if during the draft lead-up process that Sean Payton, George Payton, these guys are meeting with the quarterback, doing a deep dive into these guys, that if you fall in love with one of these guys, you might have an opportunity to get them. Whether that's staying at 12 or, maybe moving up a little, we'll have to see how it shakes out, obviously. But the fact that there's like five guys there, maybe there's a chance at 12 you could find somebody that you really, really like.
Yeah, and listen, Patrick Mahomes went at 10.
Yeah.
I believe Justin Herbert went at 7, not mistaken.
Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson, obviously, went at 32.
Yep.
There are guys that will fall beyond
the top three picks or whatever.
Exactly. And so, yeah, if you have a guy that you love, you might have to go up from 12 a little bit, but it doesn't mean you necessarily have to go up to 1 or 2.
Yeah.
And again, every year there's a guy that you look at that Mahomes draft, the top couple of picks there did not end up being Mahomes. The quarterbacks that Patrick Mahomes is, I believe. That was the Trubisky draft,
yep.
Right?
Yep. Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Yep.
So it's about having conviction in your guy and then being able to get that guy. And so what I will say is that when I look at possibly taking a quarterback, I think about, man, how exciting that would be to have a young guy. I do think in terms of, you talk about the benefit of having a low salary, the Broncos will get some of that, but of course if they move on from Russell Wilson, then
yep.
You're canceling some of that out, so it almost becomes a necessity to stay competitive at that position from a financial standpoint. And obviously there's different ways, if you move on you could deal with the cap hit, but you won't get quite the normal
you have to have that be sort of a cost-effective position,
right? And you would get to the point where in year 3 or year 4, maybe you have that benefit of a quarterback, like a rookie-friendly deal now helping you. But it wouldn't be the same as if you weren't taking on some sort of cap hit. So that's
There's a little bit of a counterbalance there, I guess, for the Broncos.
Exactly. Maybe averages out a little bit to more kind of an average salary for a quarterback. But all that said, you can love a guy, you can get him. I would say it's important for this team and any team really not to take one just for the sake of taking
one. Yeah, you got to be really convinced that this is the guy.
Because if you are at 12, right, and say two of the five guys or three of the five guys that are typically talked about in that conversation right now, which is Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy. If you're, I'm not missing anybody, right? Or Bo Nix. Bo Nix kind of in that, if you expand it to six. Yeah,
if you went to six.
Say you love three of those guys. If that guy's not there at 12 or you don't move up to get him, I don't think you can take one just to take one.
Yeah.
Because for as quickly as hitting on a first-round quarterback can improve things for you, if you miss on it, it's going to set you back.
Yeah, and just as Broncos team needs talent in different spots, you know, there's, like we'll get into here, there's like five different spots that you could go in and make an argument that said, yeah, that was a good way to address, use that pick.
Right.
So you can't just reach. But I will say, with the quarterback position, for whatever reason, there's guys that are going to shoot up the draft board. And all of a sudden, like for me at least, Eric, it seems like all college football season, Caleb Williams and Drake May were like the undisputed like one and two. And like people are saying Caleb Williams is like this generational talent, and like the comps are like Patrick Mahomes, and then for Drake May is like Andrew Luck. And you're talking about like the two best quarterbacks to come out over the last, you know, 15 years. And so this was supposed to be like this generational type of draft. And then all of a sudden, like Jaden Daniels comes up and wins the Heisman. And then now you're like, oh, maybe Jaden Daniels is going to be like the second quarterback taken. Or like there's always like this kind of, like I remember that Baker Mayfield draft, similar situation where there was like all these great quarterbacks, Sam Darnold's coming out and everybody's like convinced. And then all of a sudden Baker Mayfield shoots up the boards and he's the guy. And so quarterbacks are always like fun and like interesting to like keep an eye on. And we'll have to see how all this stuff shakes out here. But it does feel like Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels are going to be like really off the board early. So if the Broncos are like in love with one of those guys, they're going to have to move up. But then because those three are going to be taken early, maybe there's a guy like Penix who, you know, just led Washington to the national championship game. Maybe that's a guy who, if the Broncos like fall in love with, he'll be available. Or, you know, J.J. McCarthy, if he's a guy you think you can mold and really coach up and become the guy here. I just think that the fact that there's like a handful of these guys, that could be a good thing for the Broncos sitting at 12.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, even like the value of quarterbacks, like you're talking about, kind of gets inflated a bit because they're worth it. So I also think if Penix or McCarthy or Nix is your guy, and 12 might feel a little early to take a couple of those guys, I think you still gotta do it.
Yeah,
because of the value. And what it could mean if you hit. But all that said, Phil, for all the benefits of taking a quarterback, this is not a team that is necessarily just needs a quarterback, right?
Exactly.
And so I think one of the things that could benefit the Broncos is if four guys come off the board in the top 10 quarterback-wise, or you know, maybe even five guys before 12, you could have your pick of a lot of other positions.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
That could really help your roster.
Yeah, most definitely. So, you know, quarterback is going to be definitely a position that we pay attention to all throughout this process. Obviously, like medical reports on these guys have to be done at the combine. These guys like move into a house on the beach and they work with these specialists and they get their footwork, you know, modified to the NFL game. They get their mechanics altered slightly. Then they throw or they don't throw at the combine. And there's just all this stuff that they work with these gurus and they change things. And, you know, you get them. One thing I will say is like, if you get a quarterback with Sean in the room and have him draw plays and go over things and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a drill session and that guy impresses Sean, I would feel pretty confident, you know, even though Sean has not had this track record of like drafting a first round quarterback and having them become like a huge talent, like that opportunity's never like really been there for him.
Yeah. It's not that he's done it poorly. He just hasn't had to do it.
He's just not done it. Yeah. So like, he doesn't have like this history of that. I would feel very comfortable being like, oh, if Sean thinks that this guy can handle it and he wants to take him at 12, I would be kind of excited about that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that that's one of the benefits of having Sean as your head coach is that you trust his evaluation of this position.
Yeah. So a lot to unpack with these quarterbacks, and we'll spend a lot of time doing that. But like you said, Eric, maybe some other guys start falling down the board if – say sometimes it happens where like five quarterbacks get taken like in the top 10 or whatever. That means that some other really legitimate talent is falling. What other positions do you think that the Broncos could go in with that 12th pick?
Yeah, I kind of go next toward the front seven, and I know edge and defensive line are two different positions, but I view them similarly in terms of the impact that this Broncos defense needs. This is a team, Phil, that, as you mentioned, hasn't had a first-round pick in a long time. The second-round picks have been late. And so on both sides of the ball, this team doesn't have maybe as much top-end talent as you need. And I think that's particularly true of the Broncos' defense. I believe Pat Surtain is the only first-round pick on the defense.
Yeah.
Because you look at Justin Simmons, third-round pick, obviously, P.J. Locke. Opposite
Josie Singleton. Yeah. A lot of these
DJ
guys
Jones,
are
sixth round pick. Jonathan Harris started, Mike Purcell. I mean, and don't get me wrong, some really good football players, but these first round picks have that elite talent and I think tend to stand out as difference makers. And I think when you look around the league, some of the best defenses have that guy either in the middle of their defense, like defensive line, or at edge that create problems and have offensive coordinators worried about them. You know, whether that's like a Max Crosby, or obviously we know here what Von Miller did when he was coming off the edge. And so I just look at this defense and think, you know, there were still some times this year where they needed to close games or they needed that big play, or how do you keep forcing takeaways and turnovers? How do you get better against the run? I keep coming back to either defensive line, like a big guy in there that can help you change your fortune against the run, or an edge rusher that, for all the good that Jonathan Cooper, Baron Browning, Nick Bonito have done, I do think you still need that kind of stud guy.
Yeah.
And so those two, I know they're not the same position necessarily, but just the
defensive front.
The defensive front, to me, would be where I would go next if quarterback is not
100%. I agree, Eric, because I think that you mentioned, like, every week when the Broncos go up against one of these pass rushers, Sean Payton is asked about them. You know, what do you do about Max Crosby? What do you do about Khalil Mack? What do you do about Myles Garrett? Every week when you face one of those guys, it's a focus. Hey, this is our Mack protection, you know, Sean Payton was saying. You know, we've got a thing that's named after Khalil Mack that's how we protect against these edge guys. These are the type of players that make impacts in games regardless of what's happening. They're going after the quarterback. They're making these game-changing plays. They're altering the outcome by making plays from the edge or, like you said, on the interior. And I think that, you know, Pat Surtain is like one of the best players in the NFL, I think, but one of the hard things that he faces is that if a opposing quarterback just doesn't want to go his way, it's harder for him to change the outcome of the game by making like a pick six or like a huge turnover or something like that. Whereas an edge rusher, you can't avoid it. You know what I mean? You can't, the offense can't choose to say, we're not going to let Vaughn ruin this game. No, that's up to Vaughn if he's going to, or you have to just commit so much extra blockers and stuff that it's going to impact the entire line. So I think that having a guy like that in combination with Surtain would be a huge positive for this Broncos team. You have to have the secondary there, but I do think that if this Broncos team could get an edge guy who can make an impact, like and was a problem every single week, like even look at Will Anderson with the Texans, like, and what he was able to do in that game against the Broncos, like these guys are impact players, and also they can come in relatively early in their career and play at a very, very high level.
Yeah, what, Vaughn had like 11.5 his rookie year.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, these guys can just hit the league and take it by storm, you know. So the learning curve is not quite as steep, and I think that you can just get a guy that in conjunction with the secondary, you could start talking about a really dangerous defense.
Right. I think Bradley had maybe 12 his rookie year.
Yeah, he came on pretty early.
I mean, I think you're right with the edge there. And plus, it helps Sertan. I think too many times this year we saw a quarterback just had too much time to throw.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't matter how good your corners are. If they've got to chase for 4 or 5 seconds, it's tough. And so can you find a guy who makes the quarterback get the ball out quick? Or is just, you know, I think we see more and more the impact of interior pressure. If you have a guy rushing from the middle of the defensive line that can push the pocket back, force guys out, then that plays into, you know, Nick Benito, Jonathan Cooper, Baron Browning can get to the quarterback at that point. So it's not necessarily, especially defensive line. Edge rusher is a quote-unquote kind of sexy position where a lot of flash plays. But, like, getting a big defensive lineman that just solidifies the middle isn't necessarily flashy, but we've been told a lot, Phil, that Sean Payton likes to build up kind of the line of scrimmage. We saw him do that with the offensive line, and they took a big step forward this year. Maybe we see him do that with the defensive line. Obviously, had Cam Jordan there for a long time in New Orleans, and the type of player he could be, Trey Hendrickson. So that, to me, stands out. It's just an area where, at some point, you got to fix it, right? Or maybe just supplement it, get it better. Just some of these guys are getting older. And to me, defensive line and edge is one of those positions where, you know, you might be able to find a great running back in the fifth round or a great receiver later.
The studs,
to me, you tend to see, like, edge rushers and defensive linemen, like the great players, they go early.
Fast. Yeah. No, there's a lot of value taking a guy early in the first round at those positions. And like, let's face it, Eric, this Broncos defensive line, stopping the run was not where it needed to be at times last year. Certainly capable at different stretches where they played very well, but like, that Miami game, it was just not good enough down the stretch in some of these games. The Raiders, the final game, you know, defending the run has to be a priority for the Broncos' defense this offseason. Last year they went out and got Zach Allen, and he came in, and I thought he was a nice addition to the defensive line there. But you're right, having that stud in the middle, like a Quinnen Williams, you know, or obviously the gold standards is like an Aaron Donald, you know. But
Chris Jones.
Yeah, Chris Jones now. You know, if you've got that guy in the middle, that could be a real game changer too for the entire defense.
Yeah.
So I think that that is, like, if you don't do the quarterback and you're not in love with somebody who's available there, then I think that that makes a lot of sense too. Any other position that you think, like, really makes a lot of sense there for the Broncos?
Well, I think talent-wise, a lot of people mock drafts as they're starting to come out have pointed at corner as a place where, you know, the value and the talent could be there. You know, a couple Alabama corners that are good football players. And I think it's appealing to potentially pair Pat Surtain with another really
elite
good
guy.
Corner. But again, I think if you don't have that upfront pressure and talent, you know, it's just going to be hard, no matter who you have back there, to consistently make plays. So I think you could get excited about the talent if they take a corner, but it just, to me, it doesn't feel like as big of a need. Obviously, you have Riley Moss, who has said, I expect to be a starter. The Broncos traded a third-round pick to go get him, and so it feels to me like I would assume they want to give him a chance. George Payton talked about him as a future starter in this league. So corner, to me, maybe not quite as big of, maybe wouldn't fire me up quite as much.
I think sort of maybe a pass catcher or somebody like that would make a lot of sense, I think, at 12. Just when you talk about where this offense is, a lot of incredible catches by Courtland Sutton this year for, you know, 10 touchdowns. But a lot of those catches were like amazing plays. And so you're talking about, okay, how do we make it so that we can just consistently find more touchdowns? I think adding a big-time pass catcher, you know, into the mix on the offensive side of the ball could make this offense really take that next step, especially in the red zone, just being able to convert some of these opportunities into easier types of touchdowns, I think is going to be a big priority for the Broncos. And, you know, a lot is up in the air with some of these pass catchers for the Broncos. Certainly missed Greg Dulcich big time last year. So I think, you know, with the emergence of Marvin Mims coming in, adding another guy into the mix there, I think would make a lot of sense, especially in what seems to be a big-time wide receiver type of tight end, you know, early first-round type of class this year.
Yeah, a lot of guys. Washington obviously has a couple of good players. Keon Coleman of Florida State. Brock Bowers at tight end from Georgia.
Who's supposed to be like a generational type of tight end.
Yeah, so I mean, I do think from a pass catcher standpoint, you know, you mentioned Marvin, you would think he'd probably have a bigger role moving forward. Tim Patrick's coming off injury. Jerry Jeudy's going into a contract year. Courtland Sutton, you know, he kind of posted a kind of a cryptic sort of Instagram. I don't want to kind of try to diagnose what people mean from Instagram captions, but there is probably some uncertainty there at the wide receiver position. And that would be a spot where, again, you trust Sean Payton, where if he says, hey, this guy is worth the 12th overall pick, you'd probably feel pretty good about, okay, you know, I hear you there.
Be big time.
I would say with Sean, he's found the ability to find big time players at the skill positions later in the draft, in, you know, Kamara in the third round, Colston in the seventh round. And so was Michael Thomas a first round pick?
I think so.
He was. And so that to me, like his offense, like not that it is ever a bad thing to have just a stud player, but
it doesn't necessarily have to have that to run.
Right. Like I trust him to take a guy, like if you used your third round pick on somebody, I would trust him to take that guy and make him really good. And then maybe like, can you not coach up the edge or the defense alignment to the same ability where you just need at that position a
physical specimen.
Right. Just the talent has to be there.
Yeah. And we saw him do that last year. Like Brandon Johnson really emerged. LJ Humphrey really emerged. Some of these guys with the proper coaching and placement in the scheme and everything worked out pretty well, you know. But if you could find a guy who, like Marvin Mims, is open on the weekends, you know, and you got a guy who's just flying down the field, all of a sudden maybe this Broncos offense that was sort of just in the middle of the pack last year, maybe if you're adding another touchdown per game, you know, and you could really take that jump into a top 10 offense, which is where Sean Payton is accustomed to being.
Yeah, and, you know, Sean talks about the goal-to-go offense being, I think he said, awful.
Yeah.
You know, Brock Bowers in the red zone, I assume, would be helpful.
Tub machine.
Or if... You know, you need guys that scare opposing defenses.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I think if you're an opposing defense right now, you would look at Courtland Sutton and say, okay, he's a guy we have to cover in the red zone because he's going to make these crazy catches. And then, you know, Marvin's speed probably pose an issue, but, you know, like, it feels like they could use another guy or two that are just difference makers.
Like that Patriots game is a good example where, okay, you going into it, you figured Belichick was going to try and take away Sutton. Sutton goes out with injury, and then all of a sudden you're kind of just like, okay, what's the goal here? What are we trying to do on offense? And so relying so much, I think, on Courtland Sutton the way the Broncos did, and some of those catches, you know, maybe those don't all turn into touchdowns next year just because I don't want to say they're lucky, but like if you look at the top 10 plays for the Broncos this year, a lot of them you're like, oh my God.
They required a spectacular effort that I don't know if you can always count on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was for a middle of the pack type of offense. So like if you really want to consistently be one of those top scoring teams in the NFL where it feels like you kind of need to be if you want to. I mean, like, if you look at the team still playing now, these are all really good offenses. And so I feel like if you add in a guy like that, a top, you know, a 12 overall kind of guy, then you're going to be able to consistently be in that upper echelon.
Yeah. And granted, Phil, we still have a long way to go. We don't know what the Broncos are going to do in free agency. We don't know. There's some guys that, you know, may become salary cap casualties.
Yeah.
So you don't know if the needs of this team will change moving forward. But I think the way things stand today, my personal thought would be if there's a quarterback there that you love, that would be the direction I would go. Otherwise, I would prioritize either a D lineman or an edge rusher.
Yeah, yeah. I think that like sort of just going in order, I think that makes sense. You know, somebody on the defensive side of the ball so that you can avoid some of these games where it felt like going up against some of the faster teams in the NFL, the Broncos' speed, or maybe like just, you know, like having a stud out there was really on display, you know, where they were being taken advantage of a little bit. And so, yeah, I think having an edge guy or like a guy in the interior, that makes quarterback, if they decide to move on from Russell Wilson and there's a guy that you like there, otherwise somebody on the defensive front there. And then if not, I think that adding to the offense makes sense to me.
Yeah, I agree. So,
and I think that the Broncos got a lot of really great play out of some of these guys last year, like an Alex Singleton, that you're like, okay, now you know, hey, this guy is he's a guy in this league, you know, whereas maybe before last year, you're like, okay, what are they going to do at some of these spots? I think some guys sort of emerged and proved that they could play in this league. You know, Jaquan McMillan, you know, certainly stepped up and made a lot of big plays. And so you're just sort of like, okay, they've got some pieces here that maybe heading into last year we were unsure of. And George Payton said that there's a couple of guys he feel like can take that step again next year. But then there's definitely some other areas where the Broncos can fill in and have some different difference makers.
Right. Yeah. And there's positions where, you know, Josie Jewell's a free agent. Yep. Does he come back or not? Inside linebacker, unless it's a generational type guy like a Micah Parsons, you don't typically see them go.
Yeah, like a Roquan Smith, somebody like that, you would make
a
sense.
A little bit lower generally, though, than the 12th pick.
Yeah, they'd have to be really, really good.
And kind of the same thing with, you know, what do you do at safety next to Justin Simmons? You know, safety, that's a high spot for a safety,
that
for
is.
Example.
Yeah, maybe an offensive lineman you could sort of make the case for if depending on how things shake out for the Broncos, you know, like 12 is a spot that makes sense there.
Yeah.
So
for maybe like, you know, Garrett Bowles is entering the last year of his contract.
Yeah.
If you say we want to tackle for the future, that could make sense. You're probably not going to draft a center at 12.
No.
So
no.
And even guard is
tackle
high. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we'll just kind of have to see. But in terms of instant impact, I think kind of we've discussed maybe where those spots would be.
How would you feel if the Broncos is sitting at 12 were like, let's go up, let's make a move here?
Well, I would only go up for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And, man, you'd have to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, if your goal is to build and draft and build, you know, develop, it's hard trading those first round picks, you know, and you sort of seen what life is like when you don't have them. And so you'd have to be really sure if you're moving up to and you're giving up draft picks and stuff like that.
And I'd feel, I mean, this is kind of an obvious statement. I like this. going up to 7 or 8, it feels more palatable than trying to get all the way up to,
yeah,
to 2, for example.
Those little draft charts.
And so, you know,
a top 3 pick is like you're just a firstborn son is going.
You
know,
with them.
Yeah.
So if it was like you trade 12 and next year's first, you know, I could maybe get on.
Ooh,
if you're talking like multiple firsts.
Players, yeah,
play,
it's really,
I mean,
hard
it just
to
gets,
stomach. Hard to stomach.
And one thing that's worth noting, and Mike McCarthy said this in his Cowboys presser today, is he takes no responsibility for, and is not going to let his players take responsibility for past failures.
Ooh.
Or what the organization has done in the past. And so, you know, obviously Sean Payton and George Payton have to look at this roster and say, okay, well, the last few years of trades have put our roster in a certain position, but I don't think Sean will necessarily be afraid of moving up just because the Broncos have done it before. He's not going to look and say, oh, Broncos got Paxton Lynch and it didn't work out, so I'm not going to take a quarterback. Like, those things are irrelevant to him.
I agree.
He talks about that a lot in terms of
the records, streaks and stuff and things like that.
That's not this team's record or streak.
Yeah. But it's the fan bases, though. So you kind of, I think with it comes a little bit of pressure, I would say.
I think it's more about just you have to recognize the talent level because you haven't had first round picks the last couple of years. And so, like, can you afford to not have that talent moving forward?
Yeah.
More so than just saying, oh, well, we've traded picks in the past and like that didn't work out. I think you have to treat these things independently of each other.
No, so. I agree. Because, like, we've talked about this, like, for years on this show. If you hit, nothing else really matters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you've made a move and you draft C.J. Stroud and then you draft Will Anderson and those two guys turn out to be studs, it just doesn't matter. Like,
first round pick this year.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in the mid-20s.
Exactly. So, like, it just doesn't matter. If you're right and you trust what your convictions, it just doesn't matter. So, but if you miss and you end up having the first overall pick again, then you're facing some scrutiny there. So, or if you've perceived miss, I mean, I don't want to talk about Bryce Young that way, but you know what I mean? But like, they're facing a lot of pressure there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And then you have the first overall pick again, then it becomes a big deal. So, and like, say like in Dallas, that's not been Mike McCarthy's pass there per se, but that does heading into those games, there's like some pressure now. Like if the Cowboys make the playoffs next year, heading into that first game, even though it's not Dak Prescott's history, the fact that like Tony Romo had these blunders and this type of stuff, that lives with the organization and it sort of transfers, in my opinion. But you got to still trust your gut and trust what you're seeing and trust the scouting and trust what you're doing. Because if you don't trust that, then you're really lost. You know what I mean? So I think that you just got to sit. Like if you're Sean and you're sitting down with Michael Penix, just as an example, and he's doing things that you're really blown away by, you've got to trust that. You know, and you can't have success in this business without having the confidence. And
Sean, as we know, doesn't lack that and has a history of, may not be for quarterbacks, but has a history of moving up in the draft. And so that's what I think what'll make this fun is if he sees a guy, he obviously didn't do it back in 2017, but kind of all the reports are that the Saints tried to go up to get Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, yeah.
While Drew Brees was still there, obviously. So they saw something in him. You hope that he's able to identify that and then kind of make it happen.
Yeah. Right? And he's got a track record of a nice draft class. And I would certainly argue that Marvin Mims had a tremendous rookie season and made a big impact. So I think that his ability to evaluate talent and working with George and going through this whole process, I think you can rely upon the track record there just overall.
Yeah. And if you just look at this, like people who are playing this weekend, Stroud's a top 10 pick. Allen's a top 10 pick. Mahomes is a top 10 pick. Lamar's a first round pick. And the NFC.
The counter, of course, is Brock Purdy.
But their offense is.
Yeah. They've had so many playmakers. Yeah. It's just insane.
Right. And so then.
Makes life a little easier for Purdy.
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love was a first round pick. Yeah.
Who else is left in the
Baker
NFC?
Mayfield.
Baker, first overall
and,
pick.
And Jared Goff was a first overall pick.
First overall. So. There's a
theme there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you kind of have to have one of those guys and you have to have it so that your offense has got these playmakers and you've got to be able to put up points to win in this league, it feels like now. So, certainly figuring out a way to do that and then also having those big-time defensive playmakers. I mean, the Lions have Hutchinson.
The
49ers defensive line is loaded. The Ravens defense is loaded with guys. I mean, you just got to get – these teams are really good.
And I do think we've talked a lot about which position would you take, which ones are more valuable. to some degree, the Broncos can't go wrong here because it's been a couple of years since they've had a first-round pick or and have missed second-round picks as well.
Whatever position they go with.
And so no matter what, as long as you hit, I advise them not to miss on whatever position they take.
Maybe don't take a kicker.
But like if you add a stud receiver or a stud tackle or a stud D lineman or edge rusher or corner, it's going to help you.
Yeah.
No matter what position you take, just because it'll get more top end talent.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, it helps your depth because then other guys that maybe needed to take a bigger role previously can settle to maybe where they need to be.
More comfortable.
So I think there are certainly guys that I'd rather see them take over others, but when you haven't had a first round pick in this long, no matter who you take, as long as you hit, it's going to help.
Yeah. Definitely. And, you know, you just look at this roster, there's a lot of uncertainty. So they'll be able to sort of shape the direction that they want to go in here before the draft. And then you'll have a better idea of what they're trying to do here. So we'll be breaking this down a lot over the next several weeks. But it just feels like the tone right now, just around town and talking to people about the Broncos, it's just sort of like, hey, what do you think they're going to do? Like, what do you think? What direction do you think they might go in here?
We're so setting the table.
Yeah, there you go. The feast is not for a while, but, you know, we're picking out the china.
Yeah, that's true.
So. Eric, any shout-outs that you'd like to get to?
Oh, wow.
Any shout-outs?
Shout-out our friend Liz Gerolds in the community.
Of course, yeah, of course. I was going to give a nice little shout-out to our friend Nate Jackson.
Oh.
Wrote a nice piece on Mike Shanahan on defector.com.
Oh.
Yeah, wrote a nice piece about what is the Mike Shanahan offense.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was good. He said that he sat down with him at the steakhouse. I think that in there I read something about you being at a table nearby.
Yeah.
Of course, having a steak.
Yep.
You know.
Nice classic Chianti.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A Montepulciano, maybe?
That's how you do it.
Yeah.
You need that nice full body, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the whole first like couple paragraphs were about
it. About that.
That, yeah. And then it kind of got into
the
football.
Business.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a nice piece.
And, check it out.
Yeah, our friend Nate Jackson. Might have caught him on Broncos Weekend a couple times.
I saw him there.
The postgame show. Yeah, you know him.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. So, yeah. He did actually write a fair amount about steakhouses.
Oh, so, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. What do you think? You think that's important? Like, he talked about, like, in his piece, like, Steve Young went to Shanahan and he was like, hey, how can I bond with these guys? Like, I'm trying to, like, bond with my teammates here. And he was like, I don't drink and, you know, like, I got a girlfriend. Like, so, like, how am I supposed to, like, go out with these guys? And Mike was like, figure it out. Like, he was like, he sort of was just like, you got to do it.
Yeah.
He was like, so go out there and drive. You could be their designated driver or whatever. He was like, but you got to do it. And then Nate was talking about how they used to always go to Del Frisco's when they were here. I think some of that still happens. You know, you hear about like the defense getting all together every Thursday or whatever. So
anybody else go to
you
that?
You think that's important?
Yeah.
You think it's important?
I think maybe it was Singleton in the locker room said that like 20 to 30 guys every week are getting together. And, and then he said that's rare.
The steak was rare?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Medium to rare. And a couple other guys said, hey, can't you tell the locker room feels different than it has in the past?
Yeah.
And that's part of the culture you got to build.
Yeah.
The procurement of players, as Ooh. Sean Payton likes to talk about.
Yeah.
Tough exactly. word to say, but I said it.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's very well done. Peyton Manning used to do these types of things all the time, you know.
If Peyton Manning does it, I would do it. That's kind of my...
That's sort of the way to go about things, I think. Yeah. And then I think shout out to Peyton wrapped up the Manning cast.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he said on there that he predicts the Broncos will make the playoffs next year.
I didn't see it, but I read that.
Yeah, so I didn't see it either.
I didn't see it. I'm not saying he said that, but
I saw that somebody said that he said that.
Exactly.
So nice to see that.
Really nice to see that someone said that.
Yeah,
that
what is the third year of the Manning cast, I think. So.
I think so.
So shout out.
Fourth year's a charm, as they say.
They do say that. But I think that it has become an established form of watching sports broadcasts.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he sort of started this, him and Eli.
Trendsetter.
Yeah, exactly. So now, like, you see this with all kinds of different things where Shaq and Chuck and all these guys are doing their own alternate broadcasts. And, you know, Manning is just a visionary, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah.
impressive.
Shout out to him. So, all right, well, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back again next week. I don't know what we'll figure it out. We're going to talk about something. We'll be talking about it. Broncos related or maybe not.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, that's going to do it for us. For Eric Dallal, I am Phil Maligny. You've been listening to
The Neutral Zone.